Chapter 19 Elf Tales.
So, all in all, not one of Ron's better birthdays, said Fred.
It was evening, the hospital wing was quiet, the windows curtained, the lamps lit. Ron's was the only occupied bed. Harry, Hermione, and Ginny were sitting around him. They had spent all day waiting outside the double doors, trying to see inside whenever somebody went in or out. Madame Pomfrey had only let them enter at 8 o'clock. Fred and George had arrived at 10 past.
This isn't how we imagined handing over our present, said George grimly, putting down a large wrapped gift on Ron's bedside cabinet and sitting beside Ginny. Yeah, when we pictured the scene, he was conscious, said Fred.
There we were, in Hogsmeade, waiting to surprise him, said George.
You were in Hogsmeade? Asked Ginny, looking up.
We were thinking of buying Zonkos, said Fred gloomily. A Hogsmeade branch, you know. But a fat lot of good it'll do us if you lot aren't allowed out at weekends to buy our stuff anymore. But never mind that now.
He drew up a chair beside Harry and looked at Ron's pale face.
How exactly did it happen, Harry?
Harry retold the story he had already recounted. It felt like 100 times, to Dumbledore, to McGonagall, to Madame Pomfrey, to Hermione, and to Ginny.
And then I got the bezoar down his throat and his breathing eased up a bit. Slughorn ran for help, McGonagall and Madame Pomfrey turned up, and they brought Ron up here. They reckon he'll be all right. Madame Pomfrey says he'll have to stay here a week or so, keep taking essence of root.
Blimey! It was luck you thought of a bezoar, said George in a low voice.
Lucky there was one in the room, said Harry, who kept turning cold at the thought of what would have happened if he had not been able to lay hands on the little stone. Hermione gave an almost inaudible sniff. She had been exceptionally quiet all day. Having hurtled, white-faced, up to Harry outside the hospital wing and demanded to know what had happened, she had taken almost no part in Harry and Ginny's obsessive discussion about how Ron had been poisoned, but merely stood beside them, clenched jawed and frightened looking, until at last they had been allowed in to see him.
Do Mum and Dad know? Fred asked Ginny. They've already seen him. They arrived an hour ago. They're in Dumbledore's office now, but they'll be back soon.
There was a pause while they all watched Ron mumble a little in his sleep.
So, the poison was in the drink,
said Fred quietly.
Yes, said Harry at once.
He could think of nothing else and was glad for the opportunity to start discussing it again.
Slughorn poured it out.
Would he have been able to slip something into Ron's glass without you seeing?
Probably, said Harry.
But why would Slughorn want to poison Ron?
No idea, said Fred, frowning. You don't think he could have mixed up the glasses by mistake, meaning to get you? Why would Slughorn want to poison Harry? Asked Ginny.
I don't know, said Fred. But there must be loads of people who'd like to poison Harry, mustn't there? The Chosen One and all that.
So you think Slughorn's a Death Eater? Said Ginny.
Anything's possible, said Fred darkly.
He could be under the Imperious Curse, said George.
Or he could be innocent, said Ginny. The poison could have been in the bottle, in which case it was probably meant for Slughorn himself.
Who'd want to kill Slughorn?
Dumbledore reckons Voldemort wanted Slughorn on his side, said Harry. Slughorn was in hiding for a year before he came to Hogwarts, and he thought of the memory Dumbledore had not yet been able to extract from Slughorn. And maybe Voldemort wants him out of the way. Maybe he thinks he could be valuable to Dumbledore.
But you said Slughorn had been planning to give that bottle to Dumbledore for Christmas, Ginny reminded him. So the poisoner could just as easily have been after Dumbledore.
Then the poisoner didn't know Slughorn very well,
said Hermione, speaking for the first time in hours and sounding as though she had a bad head cold.
Anyone who knew Slughorn would have known there was a good chance he'd keep something that tasty for himself.
Hermione,
croaked Ron unexpectedly from between them. They all fell silent, watching him anxiously. But after muttering incomprehensibly for a moment, he merely started snoring. The dormitory doors flew open, making them all jump. Hagrid came striding toward them, his hair rain-flecked, his bearskin coat flapping behind him, a crossbow in his hand, leaving a trail of muddy dolphin-sized footprints all over the floor.
"Been in the forest all day," he panted. "Aragog's worse. I've been reading to him. Didn't get up to dinner till just now, and then Professor Sprout told me about Ron. How is he?"
"Not bad," said Harry. "They say he'll be okay."
"No more than 6 visitors at a time," said Madame Pomfrey, hurrying out of her office.
"Hagrid makes 6, George pointed out.
"Oh, yes,"
said Madame Pomfrey, who seemed to have been counting Hagrid as several people due to his vastness. To cover her confusion, she hurried off to clear up his muddy footprints with her wand.
"I don't believe this,"
said Hagrid hoarsely, shaking his great shaggy head as he stared down at Ron.
"Just don't believe it. Look at him lying there. Who'd want to hurt him, eh?"
"That's just what we were discussing," said Harry. "We don't know."
"Someone couldn't have a grudge against the Gryffindor Quidditch team, could they?"
said Hagrid anxiously.
"First Katie, now Ron."
"I can't see anyone trying to bump off a Quidditch team," said George.
"Wood might have done the Slytherins if he could have got away with it," said Fred fairly.
"Well, I don't think it's Quidditch, but I think there's a connection between the attacks," said Hermione quietly.
"How do you work that out?" asked Fred.
"Well, for one thing, they both ought to have been fatal and weren't, although that was pure luck. And for another, neither the poison nor the necklace seems to have reached the person who was supposed to be killed. Of course," she added broodingly, "that makes the person behind this even more dangerous in a way, because they don't seem to care how many people they finish off before they actually reach their victim."